A hand clap of praise this morning. Come on, say good morning. For those who don't know me, I'm Minister Pass, or you can simply call me KP. That is fine with me. On behalf of Pastor John and the Gateway Community Church here in Covington, I'd just like to take this opportunity to welcome you all again. Maybe you were not here for the initial welcome, but I'm so excited that you decided to join us on this day. A very special welcome to any first-time guests here at Gateway. Please, before you rush out, we have a special gift for you back at guest services. It's right through the double doors until you're right at the desk. We'd love for you to have that. We also want to say a special thank you to those who are our Facebook family. We have a lot of people that join us via Facebook Live, and we don't want to take that for granted. We're grateful that God has an avenue via social media that people can still hear the word of God. Amen. Amen. So we're glad to have all of you on this day. Just in case you haven't heard, and if your mind is inquiring and you're wondering where in the world is Pastor John, well, Pastor John and Miss Meyer and their son Colin, they are actually over in Kenya. They're doing international ministry right now. They're doing the mission. They're doing the work of the Lord abroad. And so I just ask that you will join me in helping keep them lifted up in prayer, that God will use them mightily there. Their platform is medical. They've set up a medical clinic there to help people that's there. And obviously the spiritual side of it, they're going to be ministering to the people of Kenya there. So we pray that God will complete his work through them and actually see them safely back to us. Amen. And while they are away, we are expected to continue the mission work here. Amen. So that's what we've come to do today. Now, if you were not here the past 3 weeks, or you didn't go online and you didn't listen to the past three messages on the past 3 weeks, I'm going to encourage you. Either go to the church's website, which is gatewaycommunity.org, or go to the church's website, Facebook page, which is Gateway Community Church of Covington. And I'm going to ask that you'll go back and you'll listen to the past 3 weeks' messages. Pastor John did a sermon series that was entitled, It's Not That Complicated. And in that series, he emphasizes that the church, or those people who belong to God, those people who have placed their faith in Jesus Christ as both Lord and Savior, they only have one command to follow. There's only one command that every believer must keep, and that is to love one another. Now, one of the scriptures that he mentioned last week that clearly captures this is Romans 13 and 8. It says, owe nothing to anyone except for your obligation to love one another. It says, if you love your neighbor, you will fulfill in the Bible requirements of the law. That love is the key. Now, if you didn't get a chance to hear those messages, you may be asking yourself the question, what about loving God? You know, I thought we were supposed to love God. Well, in John's gospel, in the 13th chapter, in the 5th verse, Jesus says, it's your love for one another that will prove to the world that you really are truly my followers. You see, God is spirit, and anybody can say with their mouths they love God. But the proof that's in the pudding, the real proof of our love for God, is how we love others. Now, today's message will be somewhat of an extension of Pastor John's series, It's Not That Complicated. Only I'm going to speak of love from the negative. Now, what do I mean by negative? While it's true that we have only one command to follow, and that is to love, today you're going to see in our scripture text that we are exhorted to be sure that that love is not a hypocritical love. And by that, I mean we are to be sure that we are not pretending to love folks. And if you will stay with me for just a few minutes, it's only one verse. So give me about 30 minutes. I even had some people get excited because I told them one verse in the first service. They got excited thinking, oh, we're getting out of here early. Just give me about 30 minutes. I think you will be able to see how timely this message is and how relevant it is for us today. You know, Thanksgiving and Christmas is right around the corner. And we start to get all of these warm and fuzzy feelings. And some of us are already in what we call the holiday spirit. And if we're not careful, though, we will allow seasons to dictate and determine how and when we show love. That's if you can really call that love at all. And you'll understand a little bit later in this message why I say that. Not only that, we have the midterms just a couple of days away here. And many of us have different views politically. But I need you to understand, we must not allow our differences or anything else to ever, ever affect our love for one another. It's sad to say, in the past few weeks, not only have I seen, but I've heard evangelical Christians speak some bad things towards one another, all because of politics. Then only to go to church on Sunday and do what we call worship. And we were reminded last week by Pastor that our relationships must be right with each other before we think we can come in here and offer our gifts and worship to God. So today I want you to turn with me in the book of Romans, and we're going to look at our focus text today. Like I said, only one verse, Romans chapter 12, verse 9. We're going to pull it up here for those who don't have their Bibles or you're having a hard time to find it. We'll have it up on the screen here, so if you'll follow along with us there. It's only one verse, and yet it's so powerful, and it'll bless you if you will humble yourself and hear what the Spirit has to say through this one verse. Romans chapter 12, verse 9. Up on the screen, and what I'm reading from, we have is the NIV version. So yours may read a little bit different. I'll probably quote your version before the day is over, though. The NIV reads this way: love must be sincere. Hate what is evil. Cling to what is good. And from the, well, since it's such a short verse, let me read it one more time. Love must be sincere. Hate what is evil and cling to what is good. And from this, I've titled the message so we can remember it: love without hypocrisy. Love without hypocrisy. Will you pray with me? Our Father in heaven, we come up before you again, and we just want to lift up our hands and say thank you again, God, for allowing us to partake in this day. God, it was my prayer early, and it's my prayer now, that your people will rejoice and be glad in it, and not only now, but every moment that you give them by your grace. We thank you, God, for this opportunity that we can come together, God, as brothers and sisters, God, and sit under your holy and divine word. God, it's my prayer, as always, that your name is honored, that your name is glorified by the preaching of your word. But not only by the preaching of it, God, I pray that the hearers are blessed by your word. God, it is your Spirit who gives us ears to hear. So we pray now that let it be so, in Jesus' name. Amen. Love without hypocrisy. Now, in this text before us, the Apostle Paul is writing to the believers in Rome. It was very difficult for believers in Rome, as it can be today in this world. If you ever have the time, go back and read the first 11 chapters. In those first 11 chapters, you will see that Paul has gone through and given us a complete explanation of what we call the good news, the gospel of Jesus Christ. It shows how God has showed love for us all, both Jew and Gentile, by sending Christ to die for us while we were still sinners. And out of his great love and his amazing grace and his abundant mercy, God has brought to us his salvation in all of its fullness. And when we come to Romans chapter 12, though, in light of what God has done for you and me, Paul now begins to focus on what should be the believer's attitude towards others. Even those people who will readily tell you they don't like you. Even those people who you know are deliberately against you. Even those people that you know deem you as their enemy. He says in verse 9, love must be sincere. The literal translation is love without hypocrisy. And our translations, our English translations today try to smooth it over for us by saying, let love be without hypocrisy. The New Living Translation puts it this way. Don't just pretend to love others, really love them. And I don't know about you, but when I read that, I am amazed. I'm amazed that Paul would tell Christians to let their love be without hypocrisy. How is that possible? How is it possible for a Christian to love someone and be a hypocrite with that love? Of all the things that Paul could have said that love should be, he could have said that love should be honest, that love should be bold, it should be great, it should be joyful. He comes here and says, let love be without hypocrisy. Why is that even on your mind, Paul? And yet here he is giving instructions to believers to love without hypocrisy. And yet we don't have to look at the world today. If we look right here in the Christian church, we can easily understand why Paul needed to write and tell believers in Rome and us here today how we ought to love one another. Paul says it has to be without hypocrisy. Now, all of us, hopefully, all of us have at some point heard the words, I love you, from someone in our family. Maybe it was a spouse. Maybe it was a close friend, as we call it, a BFF. And you young folks, I told them in the first service, I said, y'all like to double up words to put emphasis on. They say, maybe it's a friend that we're talking about here. But they told you, I love you. Only later to find out the same person that said they love you, they talking about you behind your back. Or maybe it's a loved one. Maybe it's a spouse that you've caught them. You caught them that supposedly love you. They're doing something that's so outrageously opposite of love. And then only to add insult to injury, they blame you for their behavior. They say, it's your fault I did what I did. Or maybe you had someone to profess their love for you and they hurt you, only to act like it's not really a big deal at all. You see, if you've experienced anything similar to this, then you have experienced a love that is hypocritical. Now, before you get too excited, and especially for my couples, don't start looking left and right and start like, because you know you feel like I'm talking about them. Before you get too excited, I want you to consider, have you been the one at times given this hypocritical love? You see, I was transparent in the first service. I've been on both sides of the table. I know what it's like to receive hypocritical love, but I've also been guilty of showing hypocritical love. God has convicted my heart that there were times that I've said I love you, but my actions say it's something different. So don't get too high and think that, oh yeah, oh such and such should have been here today. I needed them to hear that. I want you to consider yourselves. Because if we're not careful, we'll try to justify a hypocritical love for those whom we claim to love. So Paul is here in this one verse, both exhorting us and he's warning us that this type of behavior should never be associated with a Christian. Yes, we got to examine ourselves today. Let love be without hypocrisy. You see, the word he uses here for love is agape love. It's a self-sacrificing kind of love, only made possible by the power of the Holy Spirit indwelling the believer. You know, someone who is considered an unbeliever, who may not necessarily believe, might believe like I do, may try to make the argument. They may say that, no, I got a self-sacrificing love. You mess with my kids or you mess with my spouse. And I would tell them, yet that's still not necessarily agape love. Agape is the kind of love that's not reciprocating. It's not based on one giving love when they are receiving love. It's not given based on family relationships. It's not. It's placing another person above yourself. It's having another person's best interest at heart, no matter who they are, even if they're not family. You see, agape love doesn't have boundaries. It doesn't have limits. It doesn't decide that if you're my brother, if you believe what I believe in terms of political parties. It's not self-seeking. So this is the type of love that Paul says is the sincere love. He says it has to be without hypocrisy. Now, hypocrisy here in its original language in the Greek, it describes something that is pretended. It's faked. It actually pictures a person who deliberately gives a certain impression, knowing that the impression that they're giving is not a true one. It's what we call today a phony or two-faced. You show me one thing one day, but you show me something else on another day. You might say all the right things, and seemingly you do all the right things, but ultimately it's because you have something to gain. It's self-seeking, it's not genuine. Sometimes this type of love, this hypocritical love, is simply just so we can feel good about ourselves, so that we can draw some attention to ourselves. But Paul says if we're going to love someone, we need to make sure that we really love them. Remember, the New Living Translation translated, don't just pretend to love others. You have to really love them. The Message translates this verse, love from the center of who you are. Don't fake it. And a few minutes ago, by way of introduction, I brought to our attention that it's nearly the holiday season. Well, really, it's already here. The holiday season is here. It's a time when we begin to start thinking more about what we'd like to do for our families or friends or others in terms of gifts. And some of us, it's a time that we vacation or something. And in some cases, especially like Thanksgiving, our attention turns more towards the less fortunate or the needy. But why? There's nothing wrong with that now in and of itself. However, we must not allow acts as these to determine or define whether we are the loving Christians that we are professing to be. Our love cannot just be a seasonal type of love. You can't just go and give out 1,000 turkeys on Thanksgiving, but ain't even willing to help your family member who you know is in need of some help, and then think that you're in fellowship with God. You can buy your kids all the gifts their little hearts desire, and it's still not a genuine proof that you really love them. You see, hypocrisy tries to make the outside look better than the inside. And I repeated it for them in the first service. God told them I really like that. I think it's powerful. Hypocrisy tries to make the outside look better than what's truly on the inside. Paul says in the 13th chapter of 1 Corinthians, what we call the love chapter, he says, you can give everything that you have away to the poor. You can even sacrifice your body. But you don't have love, you have absolutely nothing. So that means a person can do some remarkable things, some remarkable external acts of kindness, and still not have this agape love. In Matthew 15, verses 1 through 9, when you have the opportunity, you read through those 9 verses, you'll see where Jesus teaches on this inner purity. And he's there, he's exposing the religious leaders for who they are. He exposes their teaching. He says, you know that my Father's word says, honor your father and your mother. It says, honor your father and your mother. He says, but what you tell people is this. You say with your tradition is that it's all right to tell your parents, I can't help you right now. Yes, I got the money, mom and dad, but you know, this is my tithes and offerings, so I can't help you right now. Jesus says, in doing that, you're teaching them that they don't have to honor their father and their mother. And if you take the opportunity to read the text all the way down, Jesus says, you hypocrites, you fakes. He says, these people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far away from me. So what you learn from 1 Corinthians 13 and then Matthew 15, we learn that external acts and external lip service, it can be hypocritical if it's not genuine from the inside. So how do we know if our love is real? Well, let's keep reading, because he didn't just stop there. But the Apostle Paul didn't stop with his thoughts when he says love must be sincere. Agape love must be real. It must be genuine. It can't be fake. It can't be pretended. He says, hate what is evil and cling to what is good. And see, now you got to hold on to your seats. Now, this is where it gets a little tight here. Paul says, hate what is evil, cling to what is good. And the problem in the church is we're moving away from God's word dictating what's good and evil, and we're starting to adopt the world's definition of what's good and evil. Isaiah says in the 5th chapter, in the 20th verse, he says, woe to those who call evil good and good evil, who put darkness for light and light for darkness, who put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. I mentioned, I brought up the midterms earlier. It amazes me how on both sides of the aisle, depending on your view, how each side trashes the other. But then as soon as something comes to the light about the party that you represent, we want to brush that under the rug. Now I'm not politicking for any side. I'm not politicking for any side. I'm only trying to bring out the point of the text that a believer, a genuine believer, is to hate, which the literal translation, you are to abhor. Abhor what is evil. You don't defend it or justify it. Because, yeah, you can name 6 things that they did good. Right is right, and wrong is wrong. To abhor something is to have an intense dislike or aversion for something. And what that means is it's like walking into a room and you smell something so horrible that you can't stand to be in the room, that you have to leave. You got to back away in disgust. The believer is to be that way about anything that God deems wrong or evil. So in our text, what evil is Paul talking about that we gotta abhor, hate? Again, this is where we get in trouble, because it's not a matter of opinion. The word evil in the Greek speaks of anything that is full of destruction, disaster, harm, or danger. And because it's in the same context of sincere love towards others, I have to believe Paul is telling us that we should have no tolerance at all for anything that endangers or harms others. Anything that is simply not right by God's standard, the believer should hate it. As parents, we must be careful. Our kids can be doing things that are completely wrong, and we'll come to their aid or their back, all in the name of love. And this morning I use little JoJo as an example. Y'all know little JoJo bad. He don't even obey you at home. And now when the teacher calls, you want to go down to the school and get in the teacher face. You know JoJo ain't don't behave. You know she ain't picking on JoJo. You cannot, in the name of love, not even uphold your own children in their wrong. And I know it can be difficult at times, but true love, sincere love, does not uphold wrong. I even talked about little Susan. Sometimes little Susan's going to have to get some tough love. And before you quick to just focus on children there, under a different circumstance, little JoJo or little Susan represents many adults. Many adults. No, don't be mad at, you know, pray for me. Don't charge it to my head. Charge. What I'm simply saying is we have to examine ourselves. Examine our lives and the things that we tolerate and or allow in our lives if it doesn't line up with what God says. Early in this chapter, if you go back to verse 2, you don't have to turn that down in your own time. Back in verse 2 of this same chapter, Paul says, don't be conformed to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his perfect, his good, his pleasing and perfect will. But we have got to stop with this borderline, long as we can name a few things right type mentality. What's right is right and wrong is wrong. And we got to be careful. Because see, I know it's easy to find the faults of others. It's easy to see the sins of others. And we say we hate what such and such is doing. And you're right to hate it. And we claim that we're trying to love them by trying to get them to turn away from it or get them to see it. And that's a good thing. But the Bible has a strong warning for us before we quick to call that love. Luke 6:42 says, how can you think of saying to your brother, let me help you get rid of that speck in your eye, when you can't even see past the log in your own eye? And when you keep reading now, Jesus says, you're a hypocrite. Says you don't call that love if you don't want to deal with your stuff. How can you say it's love because you don't want nobody to say nothing to you, but you want to go and you say something to somebody else? Paul says we are to hate it. We are to hate what is evil. Genuine love rejoices in the truth. You have to let love be sincere. It has to be without hypocrisy. You have to hate what is evil. And yet Paul is still not finished. He says you have to cling to what is good. Cling to what is good. Cling here. This word cling here in its original meaning means to glue or cement something together. It really carries the idea of a permanent connection. It's supposed to be so tightly bonded that you're not supposed to be able to separate. The believer should be associated with good. Do you see the idea here? Agape love will cling or be glued to what is good, that which what God calls good. It's not independent upon external factors to whether it is given or not. It is a love that covers a multitude of sins or wrongs done against you. It is a love that keeps giving even when nothing is being given in return. It's a love that is not jealous, it's not boastful, it's not proud, and it's not rude. It does not demand its own way. It doesn't even force itself upon others. And it doesn't always have this me first attitude. Watch this now. It doesn't keep the scores of the sins of others. It's always looking for the best in others. Agape love cares more for others than for self. I'm almost done here, but I want to take just a moment to say to those people who don't necessarily believe like I do, when it comes to who Jesus Christ is. You see, I don't believe you can truly understand or demonstrate the type of love I'm talking about apart from Jesus Christ. This is a supernatural type of love. It goes beyond your natural ability. It takes the Spirit of God to love folks through us, to bless those people who persecute you, to feed your enemy, to give them something to drink, to not repay evil for evil. That takes a supernatural type of love. But I want you to know that you can experience that type of love right here today, at this very moment. I love the fact that Jesus Christ doesn't just expect this type of love out of Christians without first having demonstrated this love himself. The awesome creator of all things, he stepped down off of his throne in glory. He became a man and made his dwelling among his own creation. See, you and I got to understand, we were his enemies by nature. And yet Jesus died for his enemies. You may not like him. You may even open your mouth to say you hate him. And yet he died for all who opposes him. This is a great demonstration of the agape love that we're talking about. And what does he ask from you in return? He doesn't ask for your money. He don't need your money. All things belong to the Lord. He doesn't ask for your works, because there's nothing you can do for him. Nothing. He only asks that you admit that you are a sinner, and that Jesus is Lord, and that God has raised him from the dead to be your Savior. And you can experience this very agape love in your heart today. And you will be enabled by his Holy Spirit to give such sacrifice and love to other folk. I want to share a story with you, then a picture, and then I'm done. 2 weeks ago, I saw a story where a father was told by his son that he was being bullied. And we know how we get when you start messing with our children. But this father took what I believe to be this approach, what we're learning today. Instead of being mad and going over to the house, let me get this straight, he goes over and speaks to the bully's parents and say, can I spend some time with him? He spends time with the little boy, and to make the long story short, he finds out that he too at one point was experiencing bullying. And you hear Pastor John say it all the time, hurt people hurt other people. And so once he realized that and he asked him why were they bullying him, he found out more to the story that his parents had fell on hard time, and so they weren't able to quite buy him clothes and stuff, and kids used to pick at him about that. And so what he did, this father said, went to the parents, got permission, and he took the boy shopping. Now this ain't a story about just buying things. You got to really hear it now. He took the boy shopping and got him some so he can boost him up and make him feel a little bit better about himself. And here's the end of that story. That same bully, because of this father's action, became his son's best friend. Now, he could have easily went there, tell your boy he better leave my boy alone or it's going to be some trouble. But that's not what his approach was. His approach was a different method. You don't respond the way people respond to you. He went there, and I believe he loved this boy to the point now this boy and his boy are friends. Now, the picture that I saw was this week. It was an open grave. And the vantage point, if you will, or the perspective was you were the deceased person looking up out your grave. You could see the outline of your dug grave, and you would see the clear blue sky. And these were the words at the bottom of that picture. This is the only time when everyone loves you. And the more I thought about it, it seems to have some truth to it. Funerals are a time when it seems people will at least momentarily forget about themselves and try to act civil towards one another. But if we're honest, all too often, it's short-lived. Before the body can get in the ground good, we're already back at each other's necks. Before you can get to the car good, I can't believe such and such had the nerve to show up. Love must be sincere. It has to be without hypocrisy. Gateway, it should not be that a visitor come here and leave from here saying they saw hypocritical love. Be careful, because you'll be amazed at what people see. You see, you think we saw the hug, but we also saw your nose go up in the air too. Love must be sincere. It has got to be real. It's not throwing us under the bus. I want Gateway to be an example, the light on the hill, a standard in this community. People don't just talk that godly talk, they walk it. That when people come in and visit us, they feel the love of God. But we got to be honest. We have got to be honest. Paul says in this one short verse, let love be without hypocrisy. You have to hate what is evil, cling to what is good. And at the very end of the chapter, he says, do not be overcome with evil, but overcome evil with good. Let me pray for us. I thank you, Father. I thank you for your word, God. One that no matter how much we try to deny it, it's needed. Thank you for the greatness of your salvation. Your salvation that not only brings forgiveness for our sins, but it's a salvation that transforms our lives. And it gives us a heart to love like you command us to love. We just thank you, God, that you love us enough to be honest with us, even when we won't be honest with ourselves. May we here at Gateway be a shining example of what it means to love others in spite of others. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Now at this time, Brother Joy is going to come and he's going to play very